May the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Christ. Amen. Still. That better, yes. Don't want it squealing at you. So, I had a dilemma when writing today's sermon. That of depth versus brevity. I am one of your ministers, and I want to tell you the truth. My truth, as I understand God, the Bible, and what it all means. Anybody watches Game of Thrones, you will know Tyrion Lannister. He says, that's what I do. I read books, I drink wine, and I know things. And I read books, and I watch videos, and I listen to podcasts, and I have deep conversations, and I pray, and I know wonderful things. But my truth is not more important than yours. We all must find out our own truth. And that truth surely changes over time as we grow in wisdom and experience. For me, the gospel is simple and beautiful and full of hope for everyone. But it's taken me a lot of study and reflection to get here. And it's very hard to express in a 10-minute sermon. So today I'm talking about the central Protestant idea of justification by faith. And here and there I will quote scripture references and theologians. I do not wish to use these as clobber texts to make you agree with me, but rather like with maths, I want you to be able to see my workings out rather than just the number at the bottom of my conclusions. If you want, I can give you a written copy of the sermon to check them out. Do ask me afterwards if you would like one. So on to today's lectionary reading from Romans. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. This passage from Romans has been a favourite passage among sincere Christians who have been taught that they need to convert people to save them for life after death. You might have been asked to pray or lead someone else to pray the sinner's prayer, to invite Jesus into your heart, to profess that he died and rose to forgive your sins. But is that what Paul's words are really about? I've been researching this. I looked at Tom Wright's book, Romans for Everyone, Part 2. The professor wrote that there were arguments about whether Jews were saved because they were God's chosen people, or whether it was important what they believed about Jesus. And he said that Paul is echoing ideas from Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30 encapsulates God's people's frustration that they could not become good people by striving to keep the law. And it tells of their heartache at being exiled. And he wrote that God extends grace towards them by explaining that a time will come when he will bring them back, when he will give them a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone, that then being good people will come naturally. I liked what Professor Wright wrote. For me, Paul is explaining in this passage in Romans that Jesus is the means of acquiring a heart of flesh. That Jesus' actions enable us to notice his residence within us. So we can never remove ourselves from God's presence again. That Jesus joined himself to each and every human being at his resurrection. as the theologian J.F. Torrens says, in the incarnation we have the meeting of man and God in man's place, but in the ascension we have the meeting of man and God in God's place. Jesus himself explained in John 14 that because I live, you also will live. And on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And I think when we love Jesus, he reveals himself within us. Sometimes he reveals himself within us even before we love him, as he did to Paul. Paul was a hater of Jesus and a persecutor of his followers. Yet God revealed his son within him on the road to Damascus. We read about this in Galatians 1:15, where Paul says, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. Some translations say reveal his son to me in this verse, but I think reveal his son in me is the better translation. For me, this means that God chose to show Paul who was already within him. Paul had been spiritually blinkered and couldn't see it till God showed him. Going back to the sinner's prayer, I do not think we invite Jesus into our heart. He is already there. But we can tell people that. And we could tell people how lovely he is. So yes, Paul was saying that what you believe is more important than which sect or denomination you belong to. Because what you believe changes how you live. To take note of Jesus' presence within us and to walk in discipleship with him would heal us. Our lives would be transformed. And the word dikaios, translated in this morning's passage as justified, has an inference of being like the character of God. And the word saved in this morning's passage could also be translated as healed or made whole. Rather than meaning to make the cut by what we temporarily or superficially believe, this passage has a much deeper and more hopeful meaning for all. In my view, what I have come to recognise is that if we believe that Jesus is within us and pay attention to his promptings, little by little we will be healed and transformed into his likeness, and the whole world would be redeemed. So instead of understanding the Romans passage in the arena of law and order, of making the cut and not being destroyed at the second death, we can read this passage differently. Remember a few weeks ago, I talked about a believometer. I made one for you in the manner of Blue Peter. If Paul was saying that making the cut for life after death was based on how big our faith is, then would Peter make it? In today's gospel, he had enough faith to get out of the boat, and yet Jesus told him he had little faith when he started to sink. So, as I see it, it's not how big our faith is. It's not how good our behaviour is. It's all about Jesus. Jesus came down to our dimension and took us back to his dimension, which is outside of sin and death. He has accomplished this on the cross. That's why he could say, it is finished. It wouldn't be finished if it depended on human beings for anything. He gave us Zoe life, now and forever. And that begins when we turn to him within us and cooperate with his love and his leading. When we believe his truth about his love for us and our true value. When we choose his way of love and reject the wicked, abusive world systems of money, sex and power. Rob Bell has an explanation of the prodigal sons in Love Wins from page 169 onwards. And it can help us understand this a lot if we've got time to read it, which I don't in 10 minutes. I read this morning's passage from Romans in a way that holds on to the ultimate and universal saving power of Jesus. But in no way does it diminish the beauty and importance of listening to him, believing him, and following him. It is all about Jesus. He has accomplished it all and is still accomplishing it all. We cannot speed up the redemption of the world, and we cannot stop it. He is doing it. But as we join in, as we believe, we are made braver, wiser, and stronger. Together with Christ, we shall overcome. Amen.